Hello, I'm Russell Rowland, author of 56 Counties, A Montana Journey. A few years ago, I visited every county in our state and interviewed people from all walks of life. I then read dozens of books about the history of Montana and the West. I wanted to explore what it means to be from Montana, how it impacts the people here. This program is a continuation of that conversation. I'm talking to people about how Montana has shaped them and what they are doing to shape Montana. Welcome to 56 Counties. Lewis and Clark County is now primarily known as the home of our state legislature. But like many towns in Montana, Helena first came into being because of mining. One of the largest gold strikes in the region took place in Last Chance Gulch. Helena would become a popular destination for the wealthy, at one point boasting the highest number of millionaires per capita in the nation. It still has that stately feel to it, with many beautiful homes peppered within the city limits. But it has also become more and more a town of cultural significance, with numerous art galleries, as well as the world-renowned Archie Bray Foundation, a residency program for ceramic artists founded in the 1950s. My two guests for this episode have both been instrumental in keeping that cultural heritage alive in Helena. After a long career in the newspaper business, Bruce Wittenberg became the director of the Montana Historical Society in 2011, and Chris Holmes is the executive director of the Myrna Loy Center, a facility that has been presenting film, theater productions, art exhibits, and numerous other artistic endeavors in Helena since 1990. Bruce Wittenberg also happens to be on the board of the Myrna Loy Center. Bruce Wittenberg. You grew up where?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. It's an honor to be here.
My pleasure.
I grew up in Illinois.
Right.
I was born in southern Illinois, and then at about age 10, we moved to the Chicago area. So I got to see the rural part of Illinois and then the urban environment of Chicago. Went back to school at Southern Illinois University, and from there started a newspaper career in 1976, and a few years later, joined Lee Enterprises, and that eventually got me to Montana.
So was Billings your first stop here, or?
No, actually Helena.
Helena was okay.
Publisher of the Independent Record in 1993 in Helena. Our family had a great experience in Helena at the Independent Record and with the community there, and then we moved to Billings in 1998.
Okay. Okay, I am in Helena talking to Chris Holmes. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, my pleasure. We're sitting on a porch in the middle of nowhere. It's beautiful out here. So,
the middle of everywhere.
That's a better way of looking at it. Did you grow up in Billings? I know you lived there for quite a while when your dad was the chaplain at Rocky.
Yeah, we moved there when I was 8.
Oh, okay.
He had just completed his doctorate degree at the Methodist Seminary in Berkeley.
Oh.
Pacific School of Religion, which is right adjacent to the university campus.
Okay.
And he had been there during the free speech movement.
Yeah.
In our radical times of Berkeley, when what he really saw was students, young people, taking their democracy seriously and engaging in questioning and, you know, what is their role in shaping the world that they were about to inhabit. And so he decided as a minister that his calling was to be on the college campus and kind of be in that milieu, sort of having that conversation with college students. He was really excited by that, but he also wanted to be in the West, and he wanted a small school. So when that opportunity at Rocky came up, we moved there.
Uh-huh.
So I was in the middle of elementary school then.
So it would have been the 70s or 60s?
It was the late 60s.
Late 60s,
yeah,
okay.
68 or 69.
So 5 years in Helena, and then how many years were you in Billings?
We were in Billings for 13 years.
Okay.
Yeah, before moving back in 2011.
All right. And you were the publisher for the Gazette when you
I was publisher for the Gazette.
Okay.
For a few years, and then I worked for MSU Billings and also helped start a nonprofit called Leadership Montana, which is really taken root in the state. I'm very proud of what's going on there now several years later.
So. Yeah, that is fabulous.
Yeah. Just one quick little story. When we were in the newspaper business back in Iowa, We had vacationed out here, and my family had enjoyed it so much, and we thought it would be a wonderful place to live. We were just settling in the Quad Cities, had decided to build another home, and just got that done. And on the day of closing on that home, got a call, would you like to move to Helena, Montana?
Oh, wow.
So I literally closed on the house, put a for sale sign in the yard. But before doing that, sat down with my family at the kitchen table, and my two boys were 5 and 10,
mm-hmm.
and had a little family discussion.
So yeah.
We got an opportunity to move again, not the first time for the boys. I said, what do you think? And my older son, Jake, said, where to?
Mm.
Helena, Montana.
Yes!
So that sealed the
deal.
That's awesome. We were off.
Chris Holmes' family was full of dynamic people. Besides her father being a chaplain at Rocky Mountain College, her mother, Polly, served in the Montana legislature. Her brothers, Steve and Tim, were founding members of the political satire troupe, the Montana Logging and Ballet Company.
So that must have been exciting as a young girl to be around that.
I did grow up with these college students as my friends and my greater family.
Yeah.
And almost every Saturday night, there'd be a whole bunch of kids down at our house playing guitars, and my mom would make popcorn for everybody. And, you know, they'd be singing their folk songs and stuff. And I just really, that was my normal, having a house full of people. And I thought that college students were so grown up.
Yeah. It almost seems like you would come out of a childhood like that with almost too idealized view of the world. Like, oh, this is how everybody gets along.
Right. Everybody gets along, and we all just, you know, we all just sit down and write songs together. Jam. Life is a big jam session. Yeah.
So did you have some rude awakenings along the way after that?
I did, because when I got to be about 19 and needed to get away from that tiny little environment of Rocky, especially, you know, I'm the youngest child behind, as you say, these two dynamic older brothers that were in everything and were seen everywhere. It was like, I just shot out of there and I wanted to go someplace really far away. So I went off to Alaska and kind of wanted to make my own way in the world, do my own thing. And I quickly realized that environment that I came from is really hard to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not have the wherewithal and the skills or the college campus or, you know, all the other resources to make that happen.
Right.
I think what I'm getting at is that, you know, you're a classic example of someone who moved to Montana and embraced the culture here and became part of it and has become a Montanan. You know, it just, it doesn't matter how many generations you go back, it's really comes down to how much effort you put into it.
I think that's a good point. And I was kind of looking for the threshold there, and I'm going to make the call at 25 years.
Okay.
To become a native Montanan.
And so has that connection been strong for them since then,
yes,
growing up here?
Yeah, my younger son, Jonathan, lives in Bozeman with his wife. He's a graphic designer there for a great little Montana company. And Jake is in Seattle now. He's in television, King 5 TV in Seattle.
That's
but he
right.
still has a really strong attachment to Montana and loves being from Montana.
Mm. So talk to me about Helena. How much has Helena changed since the 1993 when you first got there? And
well, I think Helena has changed a fair bit. You know, Helena isn't Bozeman or Missoula. Helena kind of lopes along at its own government town pace, you know. But in the time since we lived there in the 90s and now, there's a lot more activity. In terms of social things to do, you know, the restaurants, the music scene, the art scene, all that stuff has grown a lot. And the community's grown as well. But Helena's just a beautiful place to live. You know, it's really one of the only Montana towns that's actually in the mountains.
Right.
And so it's a beautiful setting. Rich history as the only surviving gold boom town.
Right, that's
you
true.
You know, in Montana. And Helena does a pretty good job of celebrating that history.
Mm.
And what brought you finally then back to Montana?
Well, I had been a freelance writer for a long time. I ended up writing mostly about the commercial fisheries off Alaska.
Mm.
And so I had done that for quite some time, and I had my big adventure mountain mama life, and I built a cabin on Talkeetna Lake outside of Talkeetna, and I had been trapping, and I'd done all these adventures, but I felt like my creative life, I didn't have a creative community, and every time I would come home for Christmas, by the early 80s, my parents and my brother Tim had moved to Helena. Mm. So I would come home to Helena and there would be Second Story Cinema and there would be, you know, Rick Newby and this clutch of writers who were doing interesting things and these artists that my brother was hanging around with. And it just felt like such a creative community of people who were really supportive of one another and good friends with one another and sharing ideas. And so probably had a kind of an idealized vision of what that was like too.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, this must happen every day.
Yeah.
And my parents were getting older. Mm-hmm. So I decided.
So you came back while they were still alive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And got to spend the last 10 years of their lives.
That's great.
Here with them, which is,
That's pretty valuable.
Treasure.
Now, when you moved back there in 2011, was it for the Historical Society job?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how did that come about?
Well, it was kind of an interesting story there, because I hadn't given that much thought. I was working with Leadership Montana, and I was on an economic development tour out in Sydney with a busload of folks from Billings, went out there for a couple of days to see what was going on with the Bakken. And at that time, Mike Cooney, who's now the lieutenant governor, was the interim director of the Historical Society.
Oh, okay.
And he called me on my cell phone out in Sydney and said, you aware that the Historical Society director position is open? I said, yeah. Have you thought about applying for it? No. Would you?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I need to know more about it. Can I come to Helena next week and visit with you? So I did. I went up and talked to Mike.
Okay.
Of course, the first question I had for Mike was, if this is such a great job, how come you're not taking it?
You are listening to 56 Counties on Yellowstone Public Radio. I'm Russell Rowland, and my guests this week from Lewis and Clark County are Bruce Wittenberg, Director of the Montana Historical Society, and Chris Holmes, Executive Director of the Myrna Loy Center.
Why don't you give us a little brief history of the Myrna Loy?
The Myrna Loy is such a treasure, and I love talking about it.
So it used to be a jail, right?
For 100 years, it was the county jail. And it was this, you know, kind of frightening Gothic.
Yeah.
It's this grand granite building full of archways and dungeons, and there's still solitary confinement, and there's the shooting range where the sheriff's deputies would do target practice.
Inside.
You know. Yeah. In the basement. And in the early 80s, the county had grown out of that facility and closed it down and had built a new facility. So right about the time that the Second Story Cinema downtown had grown out of their little independent movie house in Blanche Judge's old dance studio upstairs in this downtown historic building. It was time for them to move, and they were looking around at a place that they could turn into a movie theater and performance space. And they just kept coming back and looking at that jail. Even though it was logistically kind of a nightmare, they just were in love with the whole structure of the building, and it's just like this building with a lot of heart and soul in it and weird frustrations because it was not built to be a theater.
Sure. Okay.
And so this act of transforming this place of loneliness and solitude and anxiety and despair into a place of light and music and laughter and movies and people getting together in community to enjoy art and poetry and filmmaking is is a really core part of what the Myrna Loy is right now. Our motto is art transforms everything.
Now, Myrna Loy was an amazing actress. She did all the Thin Man movies and just had a great, strong personality, sense of humor that matched William Powell, like, line for line.
Yeah.
I love those movies. So did she actually have anything to do with it? Or
yeah,
I know she grew up in Helena, right?
She grew up right down the street.
Yeah.
And she had moved to Hollywood by the time she was 16, but she did have family back here and would come visit and had deep connections and is buried in Helena. Mm. And so when Arnie Molina and his board of directors were looking, they wanted to name the place after Myrna because she was so classy, socially responsible, tough, and she just had this enduring personality of, you know, class and verve and bravery and humor and spark and unexpectedness. So they thought that that would be perfect. So by this time, she was retired, living in an apartment in New York. This was Robert Browning, who was the chairman of the board, and I think Senator Max Baucus went with him to visit Myrna at her New York apartment. And they took her a dozen roses and a pound of parrot chocolates from Helena and went to visit her. And she said, well, you know, I don't have any money. I've given all my money away. And they said, we're not here to ask you for your money. We're here to ask you if we can name this center after you.
Oh, that's great.
So
story.
She gave the Myrna her name and her image and permission to, you know, she didn't have an estate. She had no children. She had given her money away. She said, my image and my name belong to you.
Wow.
And we have this great telegram that she wrote to Arnie Molina on the opening of the Myrna Loy saying, you know, best of wishes and thanks for naming
that
this
is so
art
cool. What a great story.
Yeah, what a huge, generous heart she had.
Well, there's been a couple times that I have really felt blessed to be in the right place at the right time. And one was to be involved with Leadership Montana in the early days, and then this position. We are so fortunate to have the Historical Society that we do. It's really one of the best, if not the best, in the Western U.S. Amazing collections, incredibly passionate people, and I just sort of pinch myself every day that I could be a part of that.
I believe you. You took me on a tour of the archives when I was doing my tour for the book, and I was blown away by how much stuff is in there. So I was really thrilled to hear that this legislation finally went through to expand. So what are the plans there?
Well, the opportunity now is to expand and renovate the existing building. We will significantly increase the space that is available to the Historical Society for exhibition and public programming, educational purposes. Better conditions. We'll be able to improve conditions for storage of the art, the priceless art collection.
That's big.
Artifacts and documents and so forth. So it's going to be a wonderful thing for not only for Helena, but for the state.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about the development of Leadership Montana and how you were involved in that and where it stands now?
Okay. Well, there's kind of an interesting story there as well. There was a group of us that Senator Baucus had appointed to an economic development action group back in about, 2000, to take a look at what the issues are for in economic development for the state and make some recommendations to the governor. So we did that work and made the recommendations, and then the committee's work was done, so it sunset. But Tom Scott, who was chairman of the First Interstate Bank System at that time, got a group of us together and say, what have we learned?
Mm.
And what we learned was that we better start developing leadership for the long future of this state and make sure that we have a network of folks in place to take us where we need to go. And so we started doing some research on that. We looked at our neighbors in Wyoming who had begun a similar program a couple of years earlier, looked all over the country for best practices, and over a period of about 18 months, we were able to launch Leadership Montana. That was in 2004, and this year they're going strong. There's more interest and activity than ever. It's a program that provides experiences for about 40 people a year, to visit different Montana communities in the context of a leadership curriculum. Mm. So they're learning about leadership behaviors and collaboration and how to create productive environments to get things done in the state.
I was sick for a while and...
Yes. You want to talk about that?
I'll talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
But one of the things that brought me was this sense of great luck.
Mm.
You know, the gift of age is not granted to everyone.
No.
And so I can't really complain about the things about growing old. Like, I don't have the cold tolerance that
right.
I used to have.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Seems kind of petty.
Yeah.
But it's real, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you had cancer?
I did. I had lymphoma.
Mm.
And was one of those situations that since then I have heard is not all that terribly unique. Of course, when it's happening to you, you think it's unique.
Of course, yeah.
But, you know, no symptoms until right a week before my diagnosis. And I went to the emergency room with a backache and just thought, oh, I must have a little kidney infection or something. And, you know, slammed, just drop kicked into a completely different world where they said you are basically... stage 4 dying of cancer.
Holy cow, really?
Don't have much of a chance. And Tara, my daughter, was 9 at the time.
Wow.
And so your brain just gets into the, what do I have to do? Just tell me what I have to do. And, and we went through that. And
chemo?
Lots and lots of chemo. Mm. And fortunately, it was the kind of lymphoma that is non-operable.
Oh.
So I didn't have to go through surgeries and chemo at the same time,
that's
which is
good.
Really,
that's
really fortunate. And they try to find that little tiny space between don't kill the patient with all that chemo, but don't let the patient die of cancer.
Right.
And I feel like we found that spot
and
went through that keyhole and came out the other side. And it was, to me, a miraculous and beautiful experience that taught me so much and gave me such respect for the physical body that we all get to call our oldest friend. these farm animals, they're like farm animals that just work relentlessly for us and are working so hard to keep us alive all the time.
Right.
And we abuse them and we criticize them and we make fun of them and we say, oh, I wish I didn't stick out here, or I wish I didn't have this over here, or I'm going to not treat it very well.
Mm-hmm.
And this beautiful, faithful farm animal just sticks by you. And it just gave me this sense of reverence for the animal that we are and that we inhabit while we're alive.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah.
So I call my body my heart donkey. It's just this little plodding creature that's carrying my heart.
It's always there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit more about, on a personal level, you must have been, in your early 30s or late 20s when you moved here?
Jeez, I can't remember back to my early 30s. 1993, I would have been right coming up on 40.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about how living in Montana, do you see any kind of a consistent personality traits or qualities that people have that live here? You know, being in the newspaper business and doing what you did, you've had a lot of opportunity to observe.
Yeah, and, you know, growing up in Illinois, the land of Lincoln, one thing that we noticed very quickly was how proud Montanans are of our history. You know, and even being from the land of Lincoln, you didn't get that feeling in Illinois.
Mm.
It was just too much distraction, I suppose. But I think the thing that really means a lot to all of us is our connection to the land and the place. And that's probably the first thing that attracts our attention. And then we start digging a little deeper and find out that it's really the people that make the difference. And how we all connect to our history, to our geography, to, you know, everything that makes us Montana. And part of what makes us Montana is also diversity.
Mm.
And, it's not the kind of diversity you'll see in Seattle or somewhere, but the diversity of thought, opinion, is pretty rich here.
In the time you've been in Helena, how do you see that it's changed? I know it's pretty fascinating to me that Wilmot Collins was elected mayor here. Immigrant from, where is he from?
Liberia,
yeah.
Yeah, a Liberian refugee.
That was pretty amazing.
That was amazing. That was a moment to be proud of.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Montana does have a very complicated history with racial relations and our laws about race and our ideas about it. And it's, you know, we've said this before, it's so easy to say we don't have a race problem in Montana because we're 94% white.
Yeah.
And then that's where we stop thinking about it. But underneath that, or the next paragraph of that set of thoughts, is where did all those people go?
Yes.
Because they used to be here.
Yeah.
And why are they not here? It feels like we have the luxury of being able to say we don't have that problem when we really do. But we also have this opportunity to look at those questions on a personal level. Like, I may not be in favor of 100,000 Liberian refugees moving into Montana, but I sure do like Wilmot Collins. You know, people's hearts open and warm when they can have a personal relationship with somebody. And then that helps us to understand the greater story.
So what do you see, you know, a lot of people talk about the changing environment of the smaller towns, especially in eastern Montana. What do you see as far as what the opportunities are going to be there for the people that live in those parts of the state?
Boy, that's a really good question, but I think it's something that we need to really spend some time figuring out. Obviously, the state is there is a rural and urban divide and an east-west divide in Montana. And, you know, back to Leadership Montana, when we started that, one of the things we had hoped to do is to bring that together a little bit, help people understand each other and what the issues are. The urban part of Montana continues to grow. You know, I believe Gallatin County was the fastest growing county in the country over the last year. Missoula, you know, Helena kind of plods along but continues at a nice pace, while the eastern part of the state continues to struggle to maintain its schools, maintain health care, and so forth. And, you know, I think we just all have to learn to appreciate each other and what we want out of life and try and help us, you know, help all of us be successful where we are. And that's a tough one.
You've been listening to 56 Counties. 56 Counties is produced by Russell Rowland for Yellowstone Public Radio. The music is written and performed by Aaron Parrott. Additional funding is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. More information and archived episodes available at ypradio.org. My guests this week were Bruce Wittenberg, director of the Montana Historical Society, and Chris Holmes, executive director of the Myrna Loy Center. To learn more about the Montana Historical Society, visit their website at mhs.mt.gov. And for more information on the history of the Myrna Loy, visit themyrnaloy.com. Join me, Russell Rowland, on the first Monday of each month for 56 Counties.